Today is the 30th day of April. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is wonderful to be here as we conclude our fourth month of 12, which means we're one third of the way through the year. And even as we end this fourth month of the year, we will be beginning the final gospel in the New Testament, the Gospel of John, when we get there. But first, we are working our way through the book of Judges. We're reading from the English Standard Version this week. Judges, chapters 11 and 12 today. Now Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a mighty warrior, but he was the son of a prostitute. Gilead was the father of Jephthah, and Gilead's wife also bore him sons. And when his wife's sons grew up, they drove Jephthah out and said to him, "You shall not have an inheritance in our father's house, for you are the son of another woman." Then Jephthah fled from his brothers and lived in the land of Tob, and worthless fellows collected around Jephthah and went out with them. After a time, the Ammonites made war against Israel. And when the Ammonites made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to bring Jephthah from the land of Tob. And they said to Jephthah, "Come and be our leader, that we may fight against the Ammonites." But Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, "Did you not hate me and drive me out of my father's house? Why have you come to me now when you are in distress?" And the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, "That is why we have turned to you now, that you may go with us and fight against the Ammonites and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead." Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, "If you bring me home again to fight against the Ammonites, and the Lord gives them over to me, I will be your head." And the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, "The Lord will be witness between us if we do not do as you say." So Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and leader over them. And Jephthah spoke all his words before the Lord at Mizpah. Then Jephthah sent messengers to the king of the Ammonites and said, "What do you have against me, that you have come to me to fight against my land?" And the king of the Ammonites answered the messengers of Jephthah, "Because Israel, on coming up from Egypt, took away my land, from the Arnon to the Jabbok and to the Jordan. Now therefore restore it peaceably." Jephthah again sent messengers to the king of the Ammonites and said to him, "Thus says Jephthah, Israel did not take away the land of Moab or the land of the Ammonites. But when they came up from Egypt, Israel went through the wilderness to the Red Sea and came to Kadesh. Israel then sent messengers to the king of Edom saying, 'Please let us pass through your land.' But the king of Edom would not listen. And they sent also to the king of Moab, but he would not consent. So Israel remained at Kadesh. Then they journeyed through the wilderness and went around the land of Edom and the land of Moab and arrived on the east side of the land of Moab and camped on the other side of the Arnon. But they did not enter the territory of Moab, for the Arnon was the boundary of Moab. Israel then sent messengers to Sihon, king of the Amorites, king of Heshbon. And Israel said to him, 'Please let us pass through your land to our country.' But Sihon did not trust Israel to pass through his territory. So Sihon gathered all his people together and encamped at Jahaz and fought with Israel. And the Lord, the God of Israel, gave Sihon and all his people into the hand of Israel, and they defeated them. So Israel took possession of all the land of the Amorites who inhabited that country. And they took possession of all the territory of the Amorites from the Arnon to the Jabbok and from the wilderness to the Jordan. So then the Lord, the God of Israel, dispossessed the Amorites from before his people Israel. And are you to take possession of them? Will you not possess what Chemosh your God gives you to possess? And all that the Lord our God has dispossessed before us, we will possess. Now are you any better than Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab? Did he ever contend against Israel, or did he ever go to war with them? While Israel lived in Heshbon and its villages, and in Arior and its villages, and in all the cities that are on the banks of the Arnon, 300 years, why did you not deliver them within that time? I therefore have not sinned against you, and you do me wrong by making war on me. The Lord, the judge, decide this day between the people of Israel and the people of Ammon. But the king of the Ammonites did not listen to the words of Jephthah that he sent to him. Then the spirit of the Lord was upon Jephthah, and he passed through Gilead and Manasseh, and passed on to Mizpah of Gilead. And from Mizpah of Gilead he passed on to the Ammonites. And Jephthah made a vow to the Lord and said, "If you will give the Ammonites into my hand, then whatever comes out from the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the Ammonites shall be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering." So Jephthah crossed over to the Ammonites to fight against them, and the Lord gave them into his hand, and he struck them from Arior to the neighborhood of Minith, 20 cities, and as far as Abel-Karamim, with a great blow. So the Ammonites were subdued before the people of Israel. Then Jephthah came to his home at Mizpah, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with tambourines and with dances. She was his only child. Besides her, he had neither son nor daughter. And as soon as he saw her, he tore his clothes and said, "Alas, my daughter, you have brought me very low, and you have become the cause of great trouble to me. For I have opened my mouth to the Lord, and I cannot take back my vow." And she said to him, "My father, you have opened your mouth to the Lord. Do to me according to what has gone out of your mouth, now that the Lord has avenged you on your enemies, on the Ammonites." So she said to her father, "Let this thing be done for me. Leave me alone 2 months, that I may go up and down on the mountains and weep for my virginity, I and my companions." So he said, "Go." Then he sent her away for 2 months, and she departed, she and her companions, and wept for her virginity on the mountains. And at the end of 2 months, she returned to her father, who did with her according to his vow that he had made. She had never known a man, and it became a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went year by year to lament the daughter of Jephthah, the Gileadite, 4 days in the year. The men of Ephraim were called to arms, and they crossed to Zaphon and said to Jephthah, "Why did you cross over to fight against the Ammonites and did not call us to go with you? We will burn your house over you with fire." And Jephthah said to them, "I and my people had a great dispute with the Ammonites, and when I called you, you did not save me from their hand. And when I saw that you would not save me, I took my life in my hand and crossed over against the Ammonites, and the Lord gave them into my hand. Why then have you come up to me this day to fight against me?" Then Jephthah gathered all the men of Gilead and fought with Ephraim. And the men of Gilead struck Ephraim because they said, "You are fugitives of Ephraim, you Gileadites, in the midst of Ephraim and Manasseh." And the Gileadites captured the fords of the Jordan against the Ephraimites. And when any of the fugitives of Ephraim said, "Let me go over," the men of Gilead said to them, "Are you an Ephraimite?" When he said, "No," they said to him, "Then say Shibboleth." And he said, "Sibboleth," for he could not pronounce it right. Then they seized him and slaughtered him at the fords of the Jordan. At that time, 42,000 of the Ephraimites fell. Jephthah judged Israel 6 years. Then Jephthah the Gileadite died and was buried in his city in Gilead. After him, Ibzan of Bethlehem judged Israel. He had 30 sons and 30 daughters he gave in marriage outside his clan, and 30 daughters he brought in from outside for his sons. And he judged Israel 7 years. Then Ibzan died and was buried at Bethlehem. After him, Elon the Zebulunite judged Israel, and he judged Israel 10 years. Then Elon the Zebulonite died and was buried at Ajalon in the land of Zebulun. After him, Abdon, the son of Hillel, the Barathonite, judged Israel. He had 40 sons and 30 grandsons who rode on 70 donkeys, and he judged Israel 8 years. Then Abdon, the son of Hillel, the Barathonite, died and was buried at Parathon in the land of Ephraim, in the hill country of the Amalekites. Okay, so this brings us to the opening of the final gospel, the Gospel of John. So we have read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and those are known as the synoptic gospels because even though they were written to different audiences, the stories are very, very similar, and in some cases, word for word, the same. And so basically, as far as the timeline goes, we think of the Gospel of Mark being the first gospel written, with Matthew following about a decade later, and then Luke somewhere in that same general time period, and then the Gospel of John being the final gospel written maybe 15 years or more after the Gospel of Mark. And of course, some of the letters of the Apostle Paul even predate the Gospels. They are the earliest Christian writings that we have. And so in terms of time, the Gospel of John would be the most recent. And the Gospel of John is very different than Matthew, Mark, or Luke. It's like 90% different from the Synoptic Gospels, which gives us an entirely new perspective and context and interpretation of Jesus' life and ministry. So, for example, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, one of the central questions that we are being led to as we read those Gospels is Jesus' question, "Who do you say that I am?" Whereas John's gospel is written to people who already have answered that question and already believe. Of course, John was one of the disciples of Jesus and had seen Jesus in person and knew. Well, I mean, what we have in the gospels is only a fraction of what Jesus' life and ministry would have contained day by day, step by step, and John was there taking those steps. So he had an understanding of the backstory. And some of that is brought forward for us in the Gospel of John. And so let's enjoy this. John is writing this later in its life, and it's beautiful to behold. And so with that, we begin John chapter 1, verse 1 through 28. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. And this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophets?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing, if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know. Even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Psalm 101. I will walk with integrity. A Psalm of David. I will sing of steadfast love and justice to you, O Lord. I will make music. I will ponder the way that is blameless. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk with integrity of heart within my house. I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall be far from me. I will know nothing of evil. Whoever slanders his neighbor secretly, I will destroy. Whoever has a haughty look and an arrogant heart, I will not endure. I will look with favor on the faithful in the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in the way that is blameless shall minister to me. No one who practices deceit shall dwell in my house. No one who utters lies shall continue before my eyes. Morning by morning I will destroy all the wicked in the land, cutting off all the evildoers from the city of the Lord. Proverbs 14:13-14. Even in laughter the heart may ache, and the end of joy may be grief. The backslider in heart will be filled with the fruit of his ways, and a good man will be filled with the fruit of his ways. Okay, so we have already talked about moving into the book of John and kind of flying over that and just getting a little bit of an overview of where we're going, and we'll have plenty to talk about as we move through the Gospel of John. But in the book of Judges, we have a pretty disturbing story about the judge Jephthah, who was the son of a prostitute and so was excluded from his family and run away until the people came under distress. Jephthah was a mighty warrior, and so they went and brought him back and made him the leader, and he became the judge of Israel and went to battle. He just made this vow to the Lord that whatever came out the front door of his house when he got home, if he was victorious, he would sacrifice a burnt offering to the Lord, whatever came out the door. And of course, as we know, what came out the door was his only child, his daughter, which is a terrifying thing to think about. And it's supposed to be. I think that's the thing. Some of these disruptive things in the Bible are supposed to be disruptive. They've been disruptive all along because they shouldn't have happened. God didn't ask Jephthah to sacrifice anything in exchange for victory. He didn't ask for a vow that a human being would be sacrificed. God says the contrary in the scriptures. He talks about peoples who sacrificed their children to false gods and how that had never even crossed his mind. One of the things that we're supposed to be kind of understanding as we move forward through the book of Judges is that everybody's doing what they think is right in their own eyes. Moses had been a mighty leader. Joshua had been a mighty leader. Now there is no mighty leader, and we're going through centuries before the children of Israel finally want to standardize things under the common rule of a singular king, uniting the tribes. And so one of the things that we see in the times of the judges is the back and forth and up and down and erratic behavior and just the way that they are thinking about things. And we are also to note that although they have abandoned God, God continues to rescue them when they come home. And so this story of Jephthah is a story of what Jephthah did, not what God told him to do. And there are plenty of people that just can't imagine that this actually happened, that Jephthah actually sacrificed his daughter to God. And so it's sort of made into that she was never able to marry, that she was dedicated to God and to God's service. And so she went on the mountains and she spent some time alone mourning her virginity. And so she remained a virgin the rest of her life in the service of the Lord. Maybe so. That'd be great. That would be a way better ending to the story than that she got sacrificed. It's just that the way that the Bible reads, it sounds like Jephthah did exactly what he said he was going to do, which is revolting, as it should be. And if we take a good glimpse into the times of the judges where everybody is doing what is right in their own eyes, then we get a good picture of just how sideways things can get. Just how good and evil can get blended. And that should be a very unsettling thought, because it's a very unsettling thing. And so this story becomes similar to like the story of Lot and the daughters who decided they needed to have children with their father. And often what we can do is, you know, get this subtle kind of animosity or distrust for God because a story in the Bible is disturbing. And we can think like, well, it's in the Bible, so it's something that God wanted. When the truth is, there are all kinds of things in the Bible that God warned against and people went ahead and did. He didn't want those things. But the will of the people did, and it brought all kinds, well, it brought everything that he warned them that it would. And so when we encounter a disruptive story, our objective isn't to normalize it and make it okay and just go, well, that's how they did things back then. It's to be disrupted and to look closely at our own path and where it is going. And so, Father, we thank you for your word and another week. I thank you, Father, for your word and another month. I thank you that you have brought us to this point, and we are grateful, and we are learning, and we are growing. And we are becoming rooted and anchored in you and you alone. Come, Holy Spirit, as we close this month and prepare for next month and what comes next in our story and our adventure of life with you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. That's the website. And that's where you find out what's going on around here. If you're using the app, and the app is definitely a primo way to have the Daily Audio Bible experience and be able to kind of keep track of the days that we've listened to and keep track of the different sections of the Bible that we're moving through. And so check that out. You can download the Daily Audio Bible app from the app store that works with your device, your phone, your tablet. And so check it out. I'll let you know what's going on around here as well. Check out the Daily Audio Bible shop. There are resources there in several different categories, whether that be stuff to wear, stuff to read, stuff to listen to, stuff to watch. So check out the Daily Audio Bible Shop. It is there with resources for the journey that we are on to draw the Bible more near into our lives, make it more part of our rhythm, part of how we make the choices that we make. So check out the resources in the shop. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if this mission to bring God's spoken word read fresh every day and given to whoever might listen to it, and to build community around that rhythm so that we're not alone. It's not a solitary endeavor of devotion to try to make our way through the Bible. It's a year of life together with brothers and sisters from all over the world who are literally on the same page. Literally, we're moving on the same page together as we move through the scriptures and allowing the scriptures to penetrate our lives and transform us from within together. If that is meaningful to you, then thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. For the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That's the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Good morning, DAB. This is Learning to Let Go from North Carolina. I was calling today just to send some love to all the parents who have called in for prayers for their children, underage children, dealing with suicidal ideation and cutting, friendship issues, adult children who have strayed from the ways that they were taught, struggling with substance abuse or marital issues or pretty much the gamut. So parenting is hard. I have one child who's young, and I just feel for all those whose children that we have the best intentions for just have not been able to right themselves yet. So I want to pray for you and your strength in being there for your children and continuing to uplift them, support them, and love them, whether it be from afar or nearby. And I just pray that you remain steadfast in that. I'm also calling for prayer for myself. I am, again, going through a legal situation that started last year, and I'm just believing that it will end soon, so that I can move on with my life and that of my child. So that we are safe and free of this person that we've been dealing with for some time now. So if you all could just say a prayer for me for that freedom, believing that this court situation will remove that person from my life totally. I wish them the best, but I don't want them tied to me any longer. Thank you. Love you. Amen.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible family. This is God's tree. I have many branches, but I'm rooted by the Word of God. You know, sometimes as saints, we try to be perfect and have a perfect faith, and we don't want to show our weaknesses, but we fall short sometimes. I've been struggling in my marriage, in my relationship, and I've been praying and praying and praying and asked God to restore the love in the relationship, but this seems like it never happens. And I think my spirit is showing me my God wants me to be more in love with him. And to be truthful, it's hard to really, really be in love with God in the level that you want to be in love with somebody on the physical and personal level. And so I'm asking that you pray that I would develop a stronger, loving relationship with God so he's more important to me than having a physical and intimate relationship here on earth. And I think that's what God wants to have for me. And hopefully he'll restore my marriage and my relationship. And I ask that you pray for those same things for those who are struggling in their relationship as well. That we have a closer walk with God and he will add to it if we learn to fall in love with him. It's just hard when you just don't have that physical contact. So continue to pray my strength as I pray for you and as we walk by faith and not by sight, that God will restore all that the enemy has taken away from us. God bless and love you. This is God's Tree.
Hey, Daily Audio Bible. This is Missy from the Midwest. I'm calling with a prayer request. We had a horrific event yesterday in our small community. A 10-year-old little girl was murdered on her way home from a relative's house. The murderer is still at large. The police are searching. I'm just praying specifically that whoever did this would turn themselves in, that it would become unbearable, and that they would have to turn themselves in. And would you join me in that? We are praying for peace for this little girl's family. Her name was Lily, and she was beautiful. And our hearts are broken. Our hearts are broken for our children, her friends, her family. So please just pray for the healing of our community, for the safety of the rest of our children and our citizens, and for this person to have to turn themselves in. Thank you, Daily Audio.
Good morning, Daily Bible Audio. My name is Jesus. I'm just a second-time caller, and it's my first year on this platform. And I just wanted to pray for, I know yesterday there was a lady that called on the 24th, and she's praying, asking, pray for her marriage. And I like to pray for all the marriages. I like to pray for those marriages who are at one with God and one with each other. And I also like to pray for those marriages who are in rough times. I pray for the wisdom of the Lord, for patience, and for the fire of the Holy Spirit to restore marriages, to change the lives, the hearts of the husbands or wives. I myself sit on a marriage that is in the rough waters, yet that is not a fight for me to fight. That battle is for the Lord to take care. I would just have faith. I would love my wife. And I would do whatever it takes to glorify the name of our Father God through the Holy Spirit and the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for children of marriages that are going through those moments and are being witnesses of hard trials and tribulations. May we have the heart of the Lord. May our hearts be turned to hearts of flesh. I am very thankful for this platform. I am a first-time member of this platform, and I thank you so much for your prayers. And I say that we pray for each other, especially in these times that we're going through. May God strengthen us as we await for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and as we carry His Holy Spirit, that we will do it and will be the best version of ourselves as we carry the Holy Spirit. I pray for unity, for restoration, for understanding, for love,